Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Now, many brilliant films can and do stand the test of time, but there are plenty of films that were once regarded as groundbreaking classics that after a few years, and in some cases a few decades, have been rendered nearly unwatchable for a variety of reasons. From simply being forgotten to containing inappropriate jokes and stereotypes, Brian Redden, that sums him up, is here to chat.
That's lovely. Jeremy.
Oh, God almighty. Okay, you want to talk about movies that haven't aged that well. Where do you want to start?
Well, you know, as you say yourself, it's so easy to, like, there's lots of films that haven't aged for lots of reasons because of the world we're living in today. But I think, generally speaking, you know, technology tends to age movies a lot. Themes would age movies a lot. And just the period in which they were made. I mean, Jaws is an example, I think. Jaws is my all-time favourite film. I love Jaws, right? Jaws was made in 1975. And people constantly, whenever I say I love Jaws, people constantly say, oh, doesn't the shark look terrible in Jaws? Isn't the shark awful? They've got to do something with it. It's aged so badly because of the shark. To which I answer in very flary language to them and tell them, no, that isn't the case. I mean, the one thing about Jaws I think is interesting. Like, I mean, Steve, and this was in the news recently because Richard Dreyfuss was at a film festival somewhere in Martha's Vineyard and he was asked about the shark of Jaws. And he was asked, would it be a good idea to make the shark, to CGI up the shark and, you know, make it more realistic looking? And he said, absolutely, it's a fantastic idea. The word got to Spielberg and Spielberg said, not on your Nelly, I'm not going to touch that shark. That is a shark, that's what it looked like in 1975. It's the best we could do. I'm not going to mess with it. And I think he's absolutely right. I mean, to update that and try and do it in CGI would just kill it. That's only the one shot, really. I mean, the shark works really well until that one shot where it jumps out of the boat to grab Robert Shaw, where it looks like a big rubber shark, which is what it is. But it's only the one shot. But if you're looking at the shark and not looking at Robert Shaw being bitten in half, then
okay, well, I'm going to give you a blast. Have you any idea how big this sound was back in the mid 70s? Jaws it is, of course, and he's here with us now, Brian Redden, and we're talking about movies that haven't stood the test of time, which, by the way, is something you might have to give a definition of again. I'm not 100% sure what that actually means here.
Movies, I think, well, I think it's a movie that hasn't stood the test of time. It's a movie you might watch today and just a movie you would have enjoyed in the past, a movie you would have thought was a classic, and you just cringe watching it now because it's so outdated and so not in tune with the times that it's kind of almost cancelled. I suppose that's what you
would say. Wow, okay, well then move on. Where are we going next?
Now, another example, I suppose, and again, I'm not saying I agree with this, but another example is Dirty Harry. I think Dirty Harry from 1971, it's the kind of film you couldn't make nowadays. And I'll tell you why, because what do we know about Dirty Harry? We know his name is Harry. We know he's dirty. What else do we need to know?
Callahan?
Like, we know his name is Callahan. Most people wouldn't even know his name is Callahan. He's a cop who gets all the dirty jobs, which is why he's called Dirty Harry. And he's mean and he speaks with his gun and he's got a quip for everything. And, you know, but nowadays, like, if you were to make a Dirty Harry nowadays, you'd have to have a backstory for that character. You'd have to have a failed marriage or he might have lost a child somewhere. We'd need to know really the sensitive side of it. We need to know what led him to be the character he is today. We would need all of that backstory in order to accept a character like that today. But back then, you got away with it because back then he was just a vigilante. Well, he wasn't even a vigilante. He was just a mean, tough cop who went by the rule of the law. And we accepted it. But I think those kind of characters, those kind of macho characters are very out of step with today's cinema audiences. And I think those kind of films don't age.
Okay, well then from the early 1970s, this just doesn't fit today. Listen.
I know what you're thinking. Did he fire six shots or only five? Well, to tell you the truth, in all this excitement, I've kind of lost track myself. But Ian, this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Okay, Dirty Harry Callahan, as in Clint Eastwood, is what we're talking about there. What else? I mean, I presume you're going to.
I still love him now. By the way, I don't agree. I'd still sit down and watch Dirty. Did you like Dirty Harry? Everyone loves Dirty Harry.
Yeah.
So I think those kind of macho characters, you know, haven't aged very well. And particularly, I think the films of that Stallone and Schwarzenegger and Seagal and Jean-Claude Van Damme made in the 80s, there was a whole string of those action movies that were really good at the time. Like, I remember going to see them and really enjoying them. Films like Cobra and Commando and Over the Top and Raw Deal with Schwarzenegger, where usually Schwarzenegger or Stallone was either a rogue cop or a rogue assassin or a secret agent of some kind going up against a bad guy. He was usually Russian. But if you watch them now, they're kind of unwatchable. They really haven't aged very well because, you know, first of all, I think the effects in it are terrible. The music, the soundtracks is always this 80s synthy soundtrack.
That's the worst bit of it.
It's the worst bit of it because it really dates the film. It just goes through your head. And lines at the time, like, you know, with Schwarzenegger, you know, harpooning someone and saying, stick around. When that was funny in the 80s, it's kind of naff now. Yeah, you know?
I don't know if it was ever funny with me, but hold on. So what you're saying is movies like Cobra and Over the Top and Lock Up and Commando and Raw Deal and all these kind of movies.
Unwatchable.
Unwatchable now.
Unwatchable. Yeah, and like, I did enjoy them at the time, but right now I think... Now, movies like Predator get a pass, right? Because that
I was just
going to
say, so what hasn't sort of faded in time?
Because I think Predator is kind of timeless. Because Predator deals with an alien and deals with a kind of, you know, someone from outer space, it kind of hasn't dated because it's timeless. You know, it's about something that's not real, that's out there, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas when you deal with these films that are based in real life, like Stallone with Cobra, I Am the Law, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know, it's like, oh, come on. Like, it just hasn't dated very well. I think it's kind of cheesy. Even the way they look, even the clothes they wear, and I just don't think, I think they're pretty much unwatchable now, you know?
Right, okay.
Although I think things like Predator and all work, obviously they still work. But I mean, would you sit down and watch Commando or Raw Deal now?
No, what about, you know, Arnold sitting on the bed saying, I'll be back, or whatever.
But that's Terminator again. See, Terminator doesn't exist in the real world. Interestingly, right, I think a lot of caper comedies don't really hold up very well. For example, I'm a big fan of Burt Reynolds, and I always love the Cannonball Run.
Yeah, you are, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah.
I love Burt Reynolds. Greatly, greatly, greatly underrated actor. He really is. Yeah. Boogie Nights, Deliverance. Come on, the guy's a genius.
Well, Deliverance was brilliant. Well, in fact, in Deliverance, he was out cold after 20 minutes. He was hardly in the damn movie.
Bert goes almost to the end.
He does, but I mean, he's kind of not in it, really.
Well, that's
John
Voight
takes
true.
Over. Anyway, go on.
So Smoking the Bandit and Cannonball Run. Smoking the Bandit less so, but Cannonball Run, like one of this kind of caper, there was two of them. And, you know, it's about that big chase across America in the cars. And it's got a huge cast in it, including Roger Moore and Jackie Chan and Jamie Farr from MASH is in it. And I remember at the time, that was just the funniest thing I'd ever seen in my life. I watched it again recently with my own kids and they hate it.
Hold on, that's where we differ. Because when I saw it at the time, I remember it at the time too, I didn't think it was funny at all.
Did you not?
Well, so I still think it's the same now.
Well, you would have been in the minority because back when it came out originally, the Cannonball Run was a huge hit and brought millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And everybody loved it. And I was one of the people who did. But now, I look at it now, maybe I've just matured or maybe it's just that the times have changed. But I think comedy has got a little bit more sophisticated. And, you know, apart from the misogyny and the racism in it, put all that to one side, it's all done really badly. Like, it's just kind of silly slapstick. And I don't think that kind of comedy... I think comedies now have got to be a lot more sophisticated.
Well, I mean,
kind of comedy
in the last... ever since The Greatest Ever, which is The Office, and the comedy of embarrassment. I love it. A whole new genre.
Yeah,
anyway, where are we here?
It is. Like, those kind of movies...
I daren't mention O.J. Simpson. I know. The Naked Gun movie.
And that's it. Like this is interesting. The Naked Gun movies are great fun. Like, I love them. Like, I think that... Because they're based on puns and all that kind of stuff, they still really stand up today.
And because they have your man who was in a serious thing before that, whatever his name is.
Leslie Nielsen.
Leslie Nielsen.
But it also has O.J. Simpson, you know, and O.J. Simpson playing a hapless buffoon called Norberg in it. And when you see him playing this kind of silly character, it is very hard to watch it, knowing what O.J. went through later on or what he was accused of doing later on. So I think the Naked Gun movies are ones that haven't aged well simply because of one particular cast member.
Okay, well then let's take a little bit of this here. This is Tom Hanks as Forrest Gump.
What's your sole purpose in this army?
To do whatever you tell me, Drill Sergeant.
God damn it, Gump! You're a goddamn genius. That's the most outstanding answer I've ever heard. You must have a goddamn IQ of 160. You are goddamn gifted, Private Gump. Listen up, people!
Now, for some reason, I fit in the army like one of them round pegs. It's not really hard. You just make your bed real neat and remember to stand up straight. And always answer every question with, yes, Drill Sergeant.
Isn't that clear?
Yes, Drill Sergeant!
Okay, that's Forrest Gump. Now, we're talking about movies that haven't aged well necessarily. Yeah. Brian Redden, tell me about Forrest Gump.
I'm kind of in two minds about Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump, like, it was hugely acclaimed, won lots of Oscars when it came out. But now, today, it's generally seen as being a right-wing fascist
Hold
movie.
On. Years ago, the week after it came out, it was generally by a lot of people seen as a right-wing fascist movie.
Was it even back then?
It was, absolutely.
Well, even more so now, you know. Because within the film, you have Forrest. Okay, Forrest. Well, you know, was the backlash that big at the time?
No,
I don't remember.
But there was a backlash.
Yeah.
Like, now, he was very much supporting the war in Vietnam and pro-government and didn't like people who protested. And then the one girl who, the one person in it who was a bit of a protester kind of person ended up with something or other. I can't remember what it was.
She ends up with AIDS. Yeah, so Robin Wright's character in it, Jenny, who's, you know, kind of falls in love with Forrest. And she's like the counterculture. She's anti-this, she's anti-Vietnam, she's protesting against the government's involvement in the war. So she gets her, and she's promiscuous and all that kind of stuff. So she gets her comeuppance because she gets AIDS and that kills her, you know. So very much of the time, that's the way it was seen. It was seen that if you stray away from the right wing agenda, you get punished. And if you stick on track, if you support the war, support the government, be a good and true American, you will flourish. Even though, you know, Forrest Gump is, you know, has issues, you know, he still flourishes in the world because he does the right thing. So I don't know. But today, that kind of movie, I don't know if it would even get made today, but certainly, as you say, it had some criticism at the time, but that's tenfold now.
All
so
right,
Forrest Gump is one that really hasn't really aged very well, I have to say.
Okay, let's go into the 21st century. What have you got there?
Crash, I suppose. Crash is one, I think, that generally, if you Google movies that have not aged well, Crash is the one that comes to
mind. Well,
top
I think Crash
list.
Is the beginning and the end for the Oscars.
Do you think so?
It was all this kind of white, kind of upper class people in Hollywood worried about something or other. And they made this movie, which was pretty damn boring, about all that. They gave it Best Movie and I was like, sorry?
Mm. Crash was made in 2004 and you're absolutely right. So it's about, you know, white elitism really in Los Angeles. And it's not really about anything. It's an awful film. And it was up against Brokeback Mountain that year. And everyone expected Brokeback Mountain to win Best Picture, and it didn't, and Crash won, inexplicably Crash won, and no one to this day can figure out how it won Best Picture, but it's and won other Oscars, and if you watch it now, it's unwatchable. I mean, it wasn't even great to watch at the time, but now it's as dull as dishwater. So I think that's a film that hasn't aged very well. But what I think is really interesting, right, when you talk about movies that are cancelled now, this has gone right back to the 30s. This is Gone with the Wind.
Oh, here we go.
But I think this is where this whole debate came from.
Yeah, it
this
is,
whole
yeah.
debate was ignited about Gone with the Wind. Now, Gone with the Wind was made in 1939. And the reason people talk about movies not aging well and movies being cancelled now are because HBO Max, when they launched their service either last year or the year before, had Gone with the Wind on it. And it created a great deal of controversy because Gone with the Wind is seen as basically whitewashing slavery and making, giving the respectable face of slavery, that all the slaves within the film are very happy, they're very stereotypical, they love their life as slaves. It kind of validates the Confederate South. So obviously that's not a very palatable thing to audiences today. So it was kind of cancelled. So HBO Max basically took it off after putting it on and then reinstated it, but with a little notice at the top of it explaining the racism in it and explaining the context and the time it was made.
Yeah.
Now, in fairness to it, as you pointed out with Forrest Gump, at the time in 1939, Gone with the Wind was also accused of being racist.
It was,
back in 1939. Yeah. So it didn't get an easy pass.
And just Matty McDaniel, or whatever it was, got the Oscar for the first black person.
So Hattie McDaniel playing the part of Mammy, which you know is generally seen as one of the worst racial stereotypes in cinema history. She goes on to win the Oscar and becomes the first African-American to win an Oscar.
Yeah.
But actually, interestingly about her, Hattie McDaniels, so she becomes the first African-American to win the Oscar. And at the Oscar ceremony, she had to sit at a segregated table.
Right.
She wasn't allowed to sit with the rest of the cast. And she died some years later. And one of her dying wishes was that she was to be buried in the Hollywood Cemetery. And they refused to bury her in the Hollywood Cemetery because she was black, because it was whites only.
Okay, the movie was, you know, sentimentalizing, if you like, a history that never really was.
Yeah.
But if there is now an explanation and a denouncement of the racist depictions on this Max television
HBO
station, whatever,
Max,
beforehand, and then you can see the movie, is everybody happy then?
Not everybody. Not everybody, because you'd think that would appease some people. But the writer, John Sinclair, who wrote 12 Years a Slave, he was very vocal in having it removed. When HBO put up this disclaimer, you know, trying to contextualize the film and explain away the racist undertones in it, He then wrote this open end in the New Yorker or something like that, saying it should be removed completely. This movie should never be shown again, which is, you know, you can't agree with that. How could you just ban Gone with the Wind, you know? So he was very, very vocal about that, John Sinclair, who wrote, as I say, who won an Oscar for writing 12 Years a Slave. So, no, you can't please all the people all the time.
What about all the gurnings of face thingy bobs of Jim Carrey and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, no, you didn't find Cannonball Run funny. I don't really find Jim Carrey funny in anything, I have to say. But I think in a lot of his earlier roles where he's talking through his arse in Ace Ventura or gurning and making stupid, silly faces, they're just gone. They're passé now. Nobody cares about those kind of movies anymore. You can't watch those movies now and laugh. Like, Ace Ventura is not funny. It wasn't really funny then, but now it's just as you say, comedy has moved on. Comedy has changed. Comedy, the comedy of embarrassment, is a different type of comedy, and it's the kind of comedy that people enjoy watching these days. But Jim Carrey talking to his bum.
Okay, but it's the apologizes. It's the apologizing that kind of gets me. Didn't Gwyneth Paltrow apologize for Shallow Hal?
So Shallow Hal, her big Gwyneth Paltrow's playing this character, and she wears a big fat suit, right? So she has the fat suit on her, and in some people's eyes, she's a large woman. And then Shallow Hal gets some kind of spell put on him, so he sees her as thin and beautiful. So Gwyneth Paltrow played the part. She took the check. She cashed the check. I assume she cashed the check, and she hasn't given it back to Weight Watchers or whoever else she's going to give it back to. But she recently has come out and said, yeah, she absolutely regrets making that
movie. I mean, you're allowed to look back and think, oh, God, what I did was appalling, and apologise and all the rest of that. But, like, you know, what she did then, it wasn't necessary. If you see the movie, it's a joke about all that.
It is. Know? It is. I mean, it is a thin line. Excuse the pun. It is a thin line. I mean, you read the script, you took the part, and it's okay reflecting back on it now, as you say, and saying, look, I shouldn't have done that. But, you know, it's poking fun at people like that, and people who are body shaming and things like that. It is poking fun at them. But anyway, she regretted that. But it wouldn't be the first time. Like you mentioned Gone with the Wind and 12 Years a Slave. Like, particularly the depiction of African-Americans and black people in American cinema has been fraught with problems for years. And many actors who have got great acclaim from playing parts in films have now denounced them. For example, I'll give you two examples. Morgan Freeman, who was Oscar nominated and really hadn't, you know, wasn't as big a name as he is now before he made Driving Miss Daisy. And I think Driving Miss Daisy is quite a quaint film. It's quite a nice film. And he plays the part of this chauffeur who drives
the ex-president's wife, Jessica Tandy.
Yeah, played by
around.
Jessica Tandy. And it's quite a sweet film. He completely denounces that film and says he wishes he never took part in it because it was just a kind of a genteel look at Southern racism. And another example would be The Help. A more recent example would be The Help.
That's only 10 years ago, yeah.
Only 10 years ago, where Viola Davis, who was also nominated for an Oscar for playing that film, has completely denounced the movie and said she should never have taken part of it because in some ways she's right. I still like the movie, I have to say, but it is a white person's tale.
But she's also 10 years later now. She's 10 times more famous than she used to be. Yeah. And you take the roles, you do the things and whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. And more importantly, 10 times more powerful.
Right.
You know, because she's won the Oscar.
And you can't judge
since.
Everything by the mores of today necessarily. So where's James Bond then? Finally.
Yeah, well, James Bond, I mean, I think the only thing that's really aged about James Bond is the gadgets. I mean, James Bond was of his time, you know what I mean? And I think
the fact that Roger Moore got 4 or 5 movies, that destroyed James Bond. And like, people are looking to save cinema in the next 6 months with the new James Bond. Leave it out.
I know, it's true, it's true. But the gadgets, James Bond's gadgets, I think. Now, again, leave aside all the women's names and the fact that they're always scantily clad and he goes screws all around the world and all that kind of stuff. He's still going to do that, I presume. But it's the kind of gadgets that I think dead. When you go into technology, it's like the Back to the Future movies. You look at Back to the Future 2, which is set in 2015, 6 years ago, right? That's their view of the future. And it's hoverboards. We're all on hoverboards. There's flying cars.
You mean
cars.
You don't have a hoverboard?
That's how I got here today. And we're all in flying cars and self-lacing boots. So when you're doing something that's set in the future and you're looking forward to the future, you're on a hiding to nothing because someone's always going to be around when the movie hits that date to say, you got it wrong.
Brian, it is always a pleasure. Just very quickly, what are you up to? Can we see anything on television that you've done lately now?
I am just about to start work on a documentary on the brilliant Irish actor Peter O'Toole.
Brilliant.
So that's
fantastic.
What I'm doing at the moment. That'll be out of Christmas.
And you've done them all, so you might as well do him too.
I do, yeah. Good no man. More. They're all done.
Oh, we'll have you back in about that. Good man, Brian Redden. Thanks a million, Brian. Good man.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.